Sunday, ladies, shir and chavos chavos. It's Sunday. Yom Aleph, Parshas Toldos. It's Chaf Vav, Mar Cheshvan, Tov Shanayin Vav, the 8th of November. It's the 4th in Shabbat Tafim, in the winter of Tov Shanayin Vav, the 4th year. And we're starting Perek Dalet in Shar HaBitachon. Okay, we're learning Chavos Halvav Shar HaBitachon. We're up to Perek Dalet. We're going to start Perek Dalet. The Psich of Shar HaBitachon was a listing of all the benefits of Bitachon. Perek Aleph was to define Bitachon, although it didn't really define the word itself, which we're defining as to rely on Hashem, meaning as an active verb, we say, to train yourself to rely on Hashem, not to rely on anything else. And we always do rely on things. Whenever we do things, we're relying on something. So the avoda of bitachon is to train ourselves mentally to rely on Hashem, who's using all the things that we usually really rely on, but he's using them as the channels through which he is effecting whatever his ratzon is to effect. So it makes no sense to rely on the channels that he's using, because it's all tools in his hand. But that's really the definition of the word in terms of translating the word bitachon. That's how we're learning. What he does when he says the mahus of bitachon in Perek Aleph, he says to be stress-free and worry-free. That's what it's all about. Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcha, you outsourced it. You realize that it is outsourced. It's not like you outsourced it. You realize that it is that way. That's the reality. So you're calm because you have nothing to do with it anymore. It's not in your hand. Not anymore. Again, you realize it's not in your hands. It's up to Hashem. So you do whatever you have to do when something's up to Hashem. You want to daven. You want to do the hishtadlus that we learned about in Perek Gimel. Fine. But you're not nervous because it's in Hashem's hands. And then he adds the very important point that Hashem will do for you things even if you don't deserve them necessarily. That's in Perek Aleph. Perek Beis then lists the qualities anything would have to have in order for a person to have bitachon in that thing, as defined in Perek Aleph as being stress-free, and he ends up listing 7 qualities. And then he says, listen, logically, the only being that has those 7 qualities is Hashem. And he goes through the 7 qualities, and you realize, of course, that's the case. You could rely on other things, so first of all, it's absurd, like you're not being in touch with reality. Not a question of frumkeit, as I always like to say. It's not a question of frumkeit, it's a question of facing reality. But also you won't even achieve bitachon as defined in Perek Aleph, because you'll still be nervous about XYZ. But if you develop bitachon in Hashem, of course until you develop it fully, we're still nervous. People are nervous. People are stressed. People are scared. People are this and people are that. But if you develop the bitachon in Hashem, which is possible because Hashem has the 7 qualities, so then you'll be totally calm. That's Perek Beis. Perek Gimel was already teaching you how to be koneh the midah bitachon, how to develop bitachon, the avoda to do. If you want to know, like, the workbook to, okay, I want to develop bitachon. It's not enough to listen to these wonderful shiurim by Rabbi Milinowitz. I have to work on it. I have to develop it. I have to internalize it. I have to realize that it's true, all these things, and I have to be kone that midah. So that's what Perek Gimel is. Perek Gimel is being kone that midah, and he lists 5 things that you have to do to be kone the midah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that's what we learned in Perek Gimel. Now we're starting Perek Dalet, where he's very, very practical. He's giving us very practical scenarios. And now you developed it. You learned Perek Gimel. So you developed it. Okay, now what? Now like you do in a good class where you're learning techniques. He says, now we're going to have scenarios and you're going to tell me how the Baal Bitachon reacts and how the non-Baal Bitachon reacts. Or really, he just talks about the Baal Bitachon. How should the Baal Bitachon react? What would a Baal Bitachon do in this case, in that case? And he lists life. He goes through life. Because he wants you to... Perek Daled puts into practice what you learned in Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel was very beautiful, but it was all theoretical. You went through Perek Gimel. It could take years, Perek Gimel. You think about, he has five things, and number one is, of course, split into seven things. So you do it, and you do it, and it takes years till you finally... convinced to some degree that it's true, or yet you believe it, or that you're convinced it's true, or that to a degree you're convinced it's true. Okay, so now Perek Daled is the implementation, the practical implementation of what we've learned in Perek, not what we've learned in Perek Gimel, you've developed in Perek Gimel, assuming you did the steps of Perek Gimel, you thought about this, you thought about that, you internalized this, you internalized that. So now what do you do, how does that play out in life? How does it actually play out? That's what Perek Daled is, because I get these questions all the time. What do I do in this case? What do I do in that case? So that's what Perek Daled is. Aval advarim shen chayav amayim letoch b'hem al habori is barach. The things concerning which you are supposed to achieve midas habitachon. So it sounds like he's leaving out something, and he absolutely is. He will teach us that he's leaving out Bechira. You can't have Bitachon when it comes to your responsibilities, things that are a mitzvah to do, things that are governed by Bechira, things that Hashem said you have to do. So you can't go to sleep and say, I'm relying on Hashem to wake me up in the morning. Right? You can't rely on Hashem. This is your Bechira. So you have to figure out how you're going to get up in the morning. It's in your hands. Hashem takes himself out of the picture when it comes to Bechira things. And he will talk about that. But that's what he means by this kind of funny sentence, Hadvarim Shechayiv Hamayim and Liftoach Behem, because you'll say, well, that's everything. No, it's not everything. Not things which are Bechira. So he loves to make lists, and we're going to go through the lists. I'll try to go through it as quickly as possible, even though I never do. Kol Lamosam Shnei Minim. So he says, okay, take a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle, and on one side of the line write, Echad mehem divrei olam hazeh, olam hazeh things, v'asheni divrei olam haba. No one ever thinks of olam haba as a subject for bitachon. Except for Chavis HaLavas. Chavis HaLavas, by the way, I said this before, I'll say it again. I think it's the only sefer that teaches you how to develop bitachon. There are beautiful svarim, hundreds of pages long, that say the most wonderful things about bitachon and are very inspiring, and they can bring tears to your eyes. And they're lamamish, but it doesn't tell. So what do I do? I don't know of any other sefer that takes you by the hand and tells you, okay, this is how you're going to be kone this midah. I mean, it's unique. I don't think anybody's done it since. There are perushim on the Chavis HaLavas. There's a kitzel Chavis HaLavas. There's an English Chavis HaLavas. But it's all the Chavis HaLavas that tells you how to do it. Olam Abba, I'm relying on Hashem that there's going to be a nitzchi. I'm relying on Hashem that there's an Olam Abba, and that there's a schar, and that the Rishon will be punished, and that's what gets me through my day. That also. So he's going to say that there are, he's making a list of all the things. You're gonna have a list. I don't remember, seven things, eight things. He's making a list of the things which are the subject of bitachon, in which you apply bitachon, and he's going to go through life circumstances, and he's going to say, okay, the Baal Bitachon will now, or if you want to make a game out of it, okay, what does the Baal Bitachon do in this case? So that's what he says. So you have one side of the paper, it says Olam Hazeh things, and one side it says Olam Habah things. Divrei Olam Hazeh, now on the half the paper that says Olam Hazeh, you split that in half. Chuku l'shnei chalokim. Echad mehem inyonei Olam l'toelas Olam Hazeh, things of Olam Hazeh, which you need for Olam Hazeh things, like earning money, taking care of your health, probably relationships, okay? And the other quarter of the page, half of the half, in Yonei Olam L'Toelos Olam Abba, like doing mitzvahs. These are Olam Hazeh things. I have to have strength to do mitzvahs. I have to have the ability to do the mitzvah. I have to think how to do the mitzvah. Right? So that's on, yeah. Okay. Now, Vinyani Olam L'Toelos Olam Hazeh, on that quarter, there you have a quarter of the page. Half the page is Olam Hazeh things. And half of that half is Olam Hazeh for Olam Hazeh. That you're going to split into three parts. Vinyani Olam L'Toelos Olam Hazeh, Yechuku L'Shlosha Chalokim. He leaves no stone unturned. Echad mehem toalos gufo. One is your physical. I'm sorry, toalos gufo belavad, survival, alive or not alive, right? That's certainly something we're all interested in. V'hashedi toalos tirfo v'sibul sono mine kinyanov. One is your. And survival includes your health. We'll say your health, your life and your health. Number two is your money and parnosa and all your possessions, your wealth and your possessions and your money. Vahashlishi toalas bnei boso, all the people that you, all your relationships that you come into contact with. The ishto, if you're talking to a man, you have to provide for them, you have to have, you have relationships with them. There's interaction between you and people, you and your friends, you and your neighbors, you and your family. Ukrovov, your relatives. Vaohavov, vaoivov, yes, people have enemies. How do you relate to these people, your relationships? Umishu lamala mimenu, your employer, let's say. Lamata mimenu, your rav, someone who's lower down on the scale. Mikitos bnei Adam, different people, and this is a very sensitive area, and it's very, it's as difficult as it is to balance bitachon. A lot of the perek is the balance of bitachon and hishtadlus. What do you do, and how much do you do, and so it's as difficult to balance it. Money, we all know, it's very difficult. Health is difficult, you know, the balance, you know. People say, is it okay? Can I walk outside? We're not going to have answers to specific scenarios. He's going to talk the principles and the ideas. Then there's always, always going to be, what about this case? What about that case? You can learn Hilchos Shabbos for 10 years, and then you say, but what about if the onion has to be chopped for this? You know, it's always like that one case that isn't quite like the principles, or you're not sure what principles to apply. That's the nature of Torah. It has to do with the eternity of Torah, with the fact that Torah applies to all scenarios, and life happens, as they say. The different things come up. So you have to apply bitachon and hishtadlus to relationships as well, whether it's children, or parents, or spouses, or friends, or enemies, or neighbors. How do you don't, there's bitachon and hishtadlus. You have a neighbor that's, you're thinking is obnoxious and drives you crazy, and their garbage is always on your merpeset. Because I only meet the people whose merpeset is full of the neighbor's garbage. I never meet the neighbor. The neighbor never comes to me. I always meet the people with the garbage on the merpeset. Anyway, okay, so now we have half the paper with Olam Hazeh, half of the half Olam Hazeh for Olam Hazeh, and that's split into three parts: health, money, relationships. Vinyani Olam L'Toelos Olam Haba, it's still on that half of the paper of Olam Hazeh, but we're in the quarter page, which is Olam Hazeh for Olam Haba, and that we're going to split into two parts. Yechuku l'shnei chalokim, echad mehem cholos halavavos for ha'evorim, cholos halavavos for ha'evorim, shehu mesyachid behem levado, vein ma'aseu yotze ben hanoa zulos ovelo la'azeko. You're not involved with anyone else. You're davening, you're taking challah, you're sitting in a sukkah, you're all the mitzvahs that only involve you, Avos Hashem, Yiras Hashem. any mitzvah, daven, anything that only doesn't involve another person. V'chelek hasheni, and the second half of this half the paper, which is olam hazeh, chovos ha'ivorim, asher lo yuchal la'asoson, this is only going to be chovos ha'ivorim, no chovos ha'ivorim involves another person, by definition, kimat. So chovos ha'ivorim, asher lo yuchal la'asoson, ela behishtat fuzula, so ima bepoil will be poil. It takes two to tango. There's mitzvahs that you can't do it. Stoka, gemilas chasodim, the limud hachachma, teaching what you know, l'tzavos betov, teaching people what's right, what's wrong, u'lahazer min ara, right? But what's my chiyuv? How much do I betachon? Maybe I'm overwhelmed by the task. I feel I can do it, but I'm overwhelmed. Where does betachon fit in? I just had yesterday, someone came over to me. They wanted to work for an organization which is doing good things, and they didn't want to hire him, although they felt he would be a tremendous asset to the organization, because they weren't sure, and it's a mitzvah organization, and they weren't sure if they would be able to give him a salary. So I told him to tell them in my name that a mitzvah organization is allowed to have bitachon also. They're not bitachon. Why not? Why they're not part of bitachon? He's an asset, and I said maybe they don't think you're much of an asset as you think you are. I said that's possible, but if they think you're an asset, tell them it's a mitzvah. It's a Torah organization, a mitzvah organization. So, like, where's their bitachon? They're relying on Hashem. It's not a nace again. You know, you always have. Not a naze, they're not like $10 million in debt, and they can't take on another penny of debt, or the shekel of debt, I should say. You know, it's like a school needs a remedial teacher for the weaker kids, and they don't know if they have the budget for it. You need it, you gotta do it, and you have to go ahead, and you have to be talking, it's gonna work out. You know, you have to have, it's like moving to Eretz Yisrael. You have to have some idea of how it's gonna work, because of the Chiyuv Hishtadlus. But if you wait to dot every I and cross every T before you come, so the place would be empty, right? We all know that. You have a general idea how it's going to work, and then you have bitachon. That's exactly the point. So you have to have that in things which involve olam hazeh and olam haba also, okay? Now we go to the second half of the page, which are in yonam olam haba. That only has two parts to it. And they're both schar. We're relying on Hashem that we're going to get rewarded for what we do. We're going to live on in Nitzchias as part of Hashem, whatever that means. I don't know what it means. And it's not the ideal way to be Oved Hashem, like, of course that's going to happen, but it's, you know, many, 99% of people need that. His point is that you have bitachon. You know, you can't get a deposit from Hashem. You know, no deposits. You don't ask Hashem for security. We're relying on Hashem that yesh sachor lepulaseich, and Hashem's gonna, if I do what I'm supposed to do in life, which is tricky, but if yeah. And it gives you chizuk, you know, because sometimes things are a mess, and sometimes life is disheartening, and sometimes life is depressing, not just disheartening. And you don't see, like the Ramchal says in Das Tfunos, he starts off saying, I don't see where all this is leading to. Like, I don't get it. That's one of my problems, he says. He says, I don't understand 4 out of 13 animamins. That's what Das Tfunos is about. 4 out of the 13. I don't get Schar v'onesh, because I don't see it. I mean, I believe it, but I don't see it. I don't see Hashgacha Pratis, because I don't see it. And I don't see how we're being led to Tchias HaMesim and Mashiach. That's a very sophisticated question, because he has no trouble understanding Tchias HaMesim or Mashiach. They're not very, I mean, they are profound concepts, but they're not something you would say about that. I just don't get it. It says in the Datunas, his words are, I don't see how things are leading to that. I don't see. Now, he lived in the 1700s. Right? So he didn't see what's going to be. We have a big schus, tremendous schus, which it's like, it's mind-boggling. It's scary. Like, why are we zocher? Because we sort of do see how, where things are leading, at least in terms of Mashiach. We see it, and we experience it, we live it. Like, but all this is like such, what we're living, the fulfillment of what it says in the Nevi'im, Achronim, in Yeshaya, Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel, Treyosar, like we're living and we're seeing and we're experiencing things that were like so beyond belief for people living in the 1700s, especially after the debacle of Shapsi Tzvi. And like, where are we going? Like, where are we headed? And even people in the Holocaust. Like, where, like, so that was tough. So those are the, so you have bitachon and gemul. That's a big thing. It's machazik you. Right? No matter how bleak things look and how messed up the world seems and how unfair the world seems, you're relying on Hashem that it's all going to straighten out at the end. Maybe it's only going to straighten out Olam Haba. Hashem has his cheshbonos, Hashem has his reasons. Kilo machshul say, machshul seichem, lo darchechem derochoi. So that's number one. How you apply, he's going to talk about it by Arichas. Now he's just giving the list. You're going to rely on Hashem that there is an Olam Haba, and there is Gemul, and things will straighten out. At the end of the day, the accountant's going to come and make the accounting. Basheni, which is mamish, utterly amazing, that Shehu Michesed Habori Yisal Ala Chasidim Anavim Olam Haba, that there is a gemul that's extra credit. It's amazing. There's a gemul that's extra credit for special people. Now, why that's oiskahalten, why that's in Hashem's fear, works both ways. He doesn't punish you if you don't deserve it. He also doesn't reward you if you don't deserve it. So we'll talk about that. What kind of people get this? But that's a, I'm relying on Hashem that there will be schar at the end of the day for everything that's done, and I'm relying on Hashem to give extra credit if you're like really good. Get extra credit. You get a second cookie with the milk if you're good. That's what he'll be talking about. The Chavis doesn't mess around. He says that's one of the things you're relying on Hashem. Now we're going to learn it, and we'll try to figure out together why that's necessary, why that has to be on the list. What would be so terrible if I only believe that, you know, Hashem will reward everybody at the end? Why do I have to believe in the extra credit? Like, why is that so important to be talking about? And does it relate to me, because I'm just a regular person trying to stay out of Gehenna, you know? So we're going to see. Now he's just making a list. And now he sums up the list, so you can check if you have everything on your paper. Right, I'm not looking, so I'm making believe everybody's writing the list. So now if you make a linear list, forget the paper with the line down the middle and the line down the middle and the three lines down the middle. You want to make a linear list, so there's seven things. Health, life and health. Money, possessions. Relationships. Things you do in this world, but that are only you're involved in. There's no one else in the picture. We're going to see why that is a separate category. You, if you're listening, and why would there be a different avoda of bitachon for things that only I'm involved in and things that others are involved in as well? So you're going to say, now he's just making a list. Bachamishi, number five, is Cholos Leivorim, because this could only be Eivorim, it can't be Levavos, you're involving other people. Shatoalton, Vahazekoson, Misabros, they involve Elzul, also another person. Bahashishi, Gmul Olam Abo, Asheyek, Viamaisabolam Hazeh, commensurate with your actions in Olam Hazeh. Vashvi, and number seven is Gmul Olam Abba, Asheyia, Me'aborius Barach Al Derech HaChesed, beyond what you deserve, and Al Derech HaChesed, Al Skulos of Olav, people he took a special liking to because they're so wonderful people, Kamosha Kosov, Marav Tuvchash, and he calls a Pasuk here, which talks about, he's learning in the Pasuk, that it's beyond regular schar. Marav Tuvcha, how great is the goodness, the beneficence, that you have put aside for those who fear you. Po'alto lachosim boch, you have created it, you have done it for those who rely on you. Chosim boch, neged b'nei odom. Unlike, you know, to fight other people many times to achieve that. Okay, we continue. V'chivin shepirashti ha-hakdomos. Now, we already learned Perek Beis, Asher ba'avuron yitochen ha-bitochon menobateach belukim yisale. We learned what qualities are needed to have bitochon. And we said, well, only Hashem has all those seven qualities. That's in Perek Beis. It's repeated in Perek Gimel. So now I am going to explain Ufani Yosher HaBitachon B'cholech HaMishiv HaSadrachim Applied Bitachon, Bitachon 101, Lamaisa, Bitachon Lamaisa. What do? You wake up in the morning, go, right? You studied Bitachon for 10 years. You think you achieved it, you developed it, you're good, and now we're going to say, okay, now get up in the morning, and let's see what happens when your bus is late. Let's see what happens when you're scared because you heard on the radio some news. Let's see how you apply everything. Your boss just fired you. Asher behem yiftach. By the way, bitachon is not just when disaster strikes. As I said yesterday in Drasha, bitachon is even harder when disaster is not striking and you're good and everything is humming along swimmingly well. That's a much bigger nisayon of bitachon, to stay away from kochi v'osim yodi. Anyway, I am going to explain applied bitachon in each of these seven things that we just listed. Asher behem yiftach kol botech al olokim v'al zuwaso, meaning v'shtadlus. Echad echad. We're going to go one by one. One by one. Take it slow. V'omar, and I will now say number one, your health and your life. B'feirish ha'chelek ha'rishon mehem. Okay? Go. What do? V'hu binyonei gufo adam b'levad. Just me. My body. Chayav, moso. Even the basic parnosa that you need for you yourself. Not even b'nei beso, not for other people. You need to survive. Your survival. Umalbusho. As long as it's not just health. It's everything that you need to live. Malbusho, the basic clothing that you need, the rosso, what you need, briuso, health, vecholyo, ubidosov, v'ofani hayosher bebitochan al alokim b'chol inyan mayhem. Okay, what do? Okay. Sheyashlech esnafsho bohem la'alichos hagozer. Step one is to realize that hashlech al Hashem Yehovcha. You have to, the first thing is, before we talk about some nekudos of hishtadlus and what Hashem wants you to do, the first step is make sure that you realize that everything that happens to you is up to Hashem. No power in the world. This should not be hard if you did Perek Gimel and you already have been Kone Perek Gimel, but this is the practical steps now. You have a problem, you're going through life. So step one is, okay, wait a second, let me take a deep breath. Everything is up to Hashem. Asher gozalo habori mehem. V'tiftach nafsho belokim yisborach. And I'm relying on Hashem to stay alive, I'm relying on Hashem to be healthy, and I'm relying on Hashem to have my basic parnosa. V'tiftach nafsho belokim yisborach v'yeda, and he has to be there. Kilo yigmal omehem, Ela mashakadam b'das habore. Only what Hashem has been gozer for him. Shehu anochon l'inyanov, and part of that, again, remember, you learn Perek Beis, you learn Perek Gimel, you feel secure that you know whatever Hashem has mapped out for your life is good for you. It's good for you in any number of ways. But it's perfect for your neshama, it's perfect for your life, it's perfect for what you have to accomplish in this world. It's for you, it's tailor-made for you. It's correct and appropriate for anything about your life, olam hazeh, and to be zocher olam haba. V'yosa tov la'achriso. V'shanhogas habori lo b'kulam shoveh. Hashem is in charge of everything. Nothing's going to happen to you unless it's Hashem's will. Ein l'shem briya b'hem etza v'lo hanhoga. Nobody's going to be able to affect you or do anything to you. Ella Bershuso Ugzeiroso Vedino. You gotta get that straight. If Hashem made a gzardin, how long you're going to live? Again, we're not talking about now messing it up through Averis. If it can get messed up, that's a subject that we're not going to get into. If Hashem Gzera can change, we find if in time they change because of Schusim, and they change. So the question is, are they really changing? Or is this always part of the game plan? But al kaponim, uchmo she'ein biyad habruim chayev umoso. And now, say, no one's going to decide whether I live or die. The Arab is not going to decide if I live or die. It's not up to the Arab. It's not, and you have to get that straight in your head. It's not up to him. Umoso v'cholyu briuso. It's not up to the doctor. It's not up to anybody or anything. It's also not up to them. The Chayiv Zavavus now says, anything you need for your survival, basic sustenance, what you need to stay alive and not die, and also basic health, meaning the health that would keep you alive. Kainem biyodam, no bria in the world controls or has power over teref mazono, the sipuko, ulavusho, anything you need. Ushon yoni gufo. You need shelter, you need clothing, whatever you need for survival. That's number one. So the first step of this is to realize that everything is up to Hashem, and no one can control or have any effect on anything unless it's Hashem's will. The imbirer emunoso, now, coupled with that clarity, ki inyono moso el gezeros habori yisala, A, that everything is up to Hashem, and B, v'shebechiras habori lohu abechira hatova, that's part of it, right? Remember Perek Beis, remember Perek Gimel. It's not only is it up to Hashem, but we believe. If you don't believe it, if you don't see it, if you don't feel it, then you shouldn't be learning Perek Dalet. You got to go back to Perek Gimel and work on that emuna. Hashem has chosen for me a certain life, and no one can change it. Nothing can change it. No one can change it. And it's the best possible life that I could have. This is what my neshama needs. This is what I need. This is what will be the best life for me. Coupled with that belief, that you have to have. Now, coupled with that belief, he says, "Huchayov lehizgalgel lesibas toalosov." A person is mechuyev to do what we call hishtadlus. That's not the Chavis Halavus' lashon, but I'll use it because it's the lashon we're used to. He has to do hishtadlus. V'livchor betov k'nirelo minoinya. And he has to make good choices. You have to be rational. You have to do what seems to be the best possible choice, whether it's for your health, or for your living conditions, or to be, or to live. For parnosa, you have to make good choices. Now, again, it's very important to remember that you're not helping Hashem out. You're not taking care of 10% and Hashem's going to do 90%. You're not a relief pitcher coming in for the last inning to finish up the game to help Hashem out. You're not a pinch hitter. You're essentially accomplishing nothing, but Hashem wants you to do it. Why he wants you to do an essentially meaningless thing, we learned in Perek Gimel why. And now Adaraba, because it's essentially meaningless, but you're doing it because he wants us to do it, so now we're over Hashem, even when we do things that we feel we have to do, because that's my Hishtadlus. Hishtadlus now becomes Avodas Hashem. Because we're doing it because Hashem wants us to do it. If you have the right bitachon attitude, then we're doing it because it's the Ratzon Hashem to do Hishtadlus. He has his reasons. It's in Perek Gimel and Chayvus Halavah Shara Bitachon. And I'm doing it because it's his will. I'm not doing it because I need to do it, or else, how's it going to happen? It's Hashem's will that I do it. Now that has ramifications, though. That has ramifications. The ramifications is that this is like anything else, that you have to do it. And Hashem wants you to do it, and this becomes a mitzvah, and this becomes your avoda. And now you have to worry about, it's sophisticated. Now if you don't do Ishtadlus, you might get sick. You might die. You might not have parnosa. You might be going hungry. You might even starve to death. Who knows? Chas v'shalom. But it's not the way you think, even though it sounds crazy, but this is what having bitachon is all about. And the ramifications of having the right thoughts are not theoretical, but they affect 80 to 90% of your life. You have to do your Hishtadlus, that's what I'm calling to, you have to do it. But, and if you don't do it, so you're going to get sick. Very possibly. Hashem doesn't want you to, but you have to be aware that the consequences of not doing Hashem's will, like Hashem doesn't even have to lift a finger to punish you, so to speak. He just has to, let nature take its course. Let Teva take its course. If you don't eat properly, so you're not going to be healthy. Hashem doesn't have to, so to speak. I mean, on a sophisticated level, it's always this way, but we don't realize it. But here we could see it. But that if you don't eat healthy, you're going to be sick. Yeah? If you don't take care of yourself, you're going to be sick. And it's not an onesh. It is an onesh, but it's not an onesh. It's just Hashem saying, okay, listen, if you're not listening to me, so how am I going to punish you? I'm just going to let you suffer the consequences of what I built into Teva. That is going to happen to you. I don't have to think, now, if there's a gzeirah, if you're locked out and you jump out a window because a person wants to commit suicide, but Hashem has his cheshbonus why he's not supposed to die now, so he won't die, right? A truck with mattresses are going to pass by. He's going to land on them. How many people take pills with attempted suicide and they don't succeed? Many, many people. So you'll get a different punishment for what you did. It's not mukhrach that this is the punishment. But his point is, this is probably the hardest part of Bitachon. He says, you're going through life and you're doing things, number one, basic survival, not just your life, your health, your parnosa, your basic parnosa, to earn the things you need to survive. He'll talk about anything beyond that when he gets to number two. Now he's talking about basic survival. So, A, make sure you understand clearly that everything that happens to you is from Hashem, and nothing will happen to you if it's not Hashem's will, and everything's going to happen to you because it is Hashem's will, and Hashem has chosen for you the best possible circumstances that will happen to you, that will be your life. Ani, Asher, children, yes children, no children, how long you live, when you get married, when having parnosa, having relationships, having friends, everything is pre-planned. That's number one. Number two is you have the chiyuv, the absolute obligation, he doesn't mince any words, You have an obligation to be what he calls mesasek besibos, what we call hishtadlus. But Hashem, and this can give you a headache, because Hashem knows the future, and Hashem knows everything that's going to happen. So when he set up your life, he already knows what you're going to do. So if he set up your life, and the person, if he sets up your life, you know, and so he says, what's going to happen is going to happen. Now he might have taken into account already that you're not doing proper hishtadlus, and therefore you're going to suffer the consequences of violating Hashem's will. Not you're going to suffer the consequences of, like, you know, I did this, so I, you know, this is dangerous, and I did it, so of course I died. No, of course you died. You were supposed to die, and Hashem was gozer, you should die, and if he wasn't gozer, you should die at that moment, you wouldn't have. But you have to accept the fact that if you don't do what you're supposed to do, that might be your punishment. Now, how does that fit with it being Zeirus Hashem? As I said, because there's another level of Hashem's Yediyah that he knows the future, right? And we're not going in, we're obviously not going to, I hope it's obvious, we're not going to discuss Yediyah and Bechira. So Hashem knows your choices, and when that neshama was going to be put into someone's womb, and Hashem said, this is how long you're going to live, and this is what your life's going to be like, Hashem is already taking into account what you're going to do. So everything, but you, as far as you're concerned, you don't live with that. You live with nothing. This is what you have to live with. That's the greatest hope of us. You don't have to be a big philosopher. You don't have to be so sophisticated. You have to live with two basic ideas. And even if they seem contradictory, they're not. One is everything that happens, and it's gonna, if you can do this, this is 90% of your life. Everything that happens to me is from Hashem. Nothing will happen to me unless Hashem wants it to happen. Nothing will happen to me in my life unless it's Hashem's will. Nobody can do anything to me unless it's Hashem's will. No one can hurt me, no one can harm me, no one can help me, no one can do anything for me. Nothing will happen unless it's Hashem's will, and I have a chiyuv hishtadlus. Two streams, two masluim. And I have to do the basic things called, what we call hishtadlus, because that's what Hashem wants. Why he wants it, go back and learn Perek Gimel to see why he wants it. It's not necessary, he doesn't need my help, but he wants us to do it for his reasons that's given there. And now you have to worry, and so first of all, your whole life, if you have that thought, your whole life is a mitzvah. Your whole life is avodas Hashem. When you're out there, like when you're out there working and you're earning money, you're taking care of the house, you're doing Hashem's will. Everything becomes a mitzvah. Everything becomes avodas Hashem. It uplifts your whole life. And now, and also you have to realize, if you don't do whatever is determined to be the proper hishtadlus, you're going to suffer the consequences of not doing hishtadlus, not because, well, what do you want? You know, of course it's going to happen. No. Because you're being punished. You're being punished for violating Hashem's will, because Hashem wanted you to do hishtadlus. Now, you'll say, so why is it that if I smoke a lot, I get lung cancer? Like, why don't I get hit by a car as a punishment? You could. But like Hashem takes the easy way out. It's much easier to have you develop lung cancer if you smoke a lot than to have you get hit by a car. See? If you don't eat healthy, you're not going to be healthy. If you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be healthy. That's like Hashem would much rather, so to speak, let nature take its course. I think that's the worst thing I could possibly say. Hashem would much rather let things flow naturally that might zap you with a punishment. Now, sometimes he has cheshbonos. He needs you alive till you're 80. So you smoke, and you don't live healthy, and you're overweight, and you do all sorts of things, and Hashem wants you around till you're 80, but you're going to be punished for not doing your hishtadlus. It's an avera. You're violating Hashem's will. That's what the Chavos HaLevavos is saying. But it also transforms your life if you do hishtadlus. If I don't do something dangerous, it's very hard to think this way. I'm doing it because this is what Hashem wants me to do. I'm serving Hashem. I'm doing avodas Hashem. I'm not saying, oh, if I do this, I'm for sure going to die. No, that's not. If you do this, I'm rebelling against Hashem's will. I learned the Chavis Havadis, we have to do certain things, and if I'm not doing them, so I'm not doing them as surely as if I don't, you know, keep Shabbos. You know, I'm not listening to Hashem. This is like, it's a very deep and all-encompassing concept that Hishtadlus is Avodas Hashem. He said it really before, he's repeating it now. Okay, let's stop here.